let's now come to God in prayer. Gracious God, your love is our security and our hope. We thank you that in love you sent your Son Jesus to break the power of death and bring us everlasting life through the gospel. He shared our life, took upon himself our death, and opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him. We praise you today for all those we've shared our earthly lives with. Especially then today, we thank you for Joan, for all that made her special, all that you gave her and accomplished in and through her, all that she meant to those who knew and loved her. We remember with gratitude how you preserved her life during the war, brought her up in a Christian home, and led her family here to Oswestry. We thank you for her long and faithful marriage to George, her joy in serving you among children and youth, her commitment to God's church here in Oswestry, her cheery smile and gentle spirit, and her skill on the piano and the organ. We commend to you those who will miss Joan most in the days to come, because they loved her best. Especially George, of course, her sons Roderick and Marcus, along with Kate and the children, her sister Sylvia and all the members of her family. Grant that, casting every care on you, they may know the comfort your love can bring. Sustain them in the days to come, with treasured memories of the past and radiant hopes for the future. And help us all to rejoice that you've received her into your arms. Assure us that because Christ lives, we also shall live, along with all those who trust in him. Grant us a deep knowledge of your love and an unclouded vision of your glory, in the knowledge that all life finds its fulfillment in you and the joy of your everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Marcus has asked me to read this tribute to his mum. When I started to write this tribute to mum, I found it really difficult to know how to start and what to say. Not because I couldn't think of anything, but more because there was so much I could say about mum and thank her for that it seemed such a daunting task. Where should I begin? I know that Roderick will agree that we were both blessed to have Joan as our mother. She never stinted in her care or love for us, and neither of us could have asked for a better mother. We are both the men we are today because of mum's care, love, teaching and support. Dad helped a bit too. And we have both so much to thank her for. There are so many memories I could share with you, but to keep things short, here are just a few. Mum was an excellent cook, providing some amazing meals for us as a family. She was always an early riser, and by the time the rest of the house had woken up, Mum had already set the table for breakfast, made packed lunches for everyone, prepared everything ready for the evening meal, plus numerous little jobs around the house that needed doing. There were even times when she could be found in her dressing gown out in the garden doing some weeding or planting bulbs at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mum loved cats, something I share with her. So much so that when a stray appeared in the garden, Mum fed it scraps of food. The stray knew it was onto a good thing and decided to live in the hedge opposite the back door. Mum, of course, couldn't resist, so kept leaving more scraps out. The stray then had kittens, and before we knew what was happening, we had 15 cats living in the hedge outside our house, all relying on Mum's handouts for their survival. Mum was a great knitter and was always making jumpers for just about anyone who wanted one. She loved jigsaw puzzles and particularly reading Mills and Boone romance novels, of which he had a great collection and would read them over and over again. I remember one occasion when I was at the local primary school and Mum suddenly arrived to take me home during the middle of the day. I wasn't sure what was going on, but when we got home it turned out that Mum had been out shopping and couldn't find the house key. So it was my job to crawl through an open window and then let her in. Sometime later, we found the key in a Wellington boot, where it had fallen when Mum had gotten out of the car. Fast forward quite a few years, and I shall never forget how amazing and elegant Mum looked on the day that Kate and I got married. She wore a pink dress with matching hat, and was definitely in celebratory mood, probably for getting rid of me at long last and passing me on to someone else. As everyone entered the hotel at the beginning of the reception, Mum chose a drink from those on offer. She soon drained her glass and said it was one of the nicest drinks that she'd ever had and went back for another one. To this day, we still don't know if Mum, who was teetotal, realised that she had been drinking the alcoholic drink Pimm's. The one occasion that she knowingly had a drink was on a meal out to celebrate her 70th birthday. At the end of the meal, she poured some leftover wine into a glass and knocked it back all in one go, much to our surprise. We must have all looked a bit shocked because she defiantly said, "Well, it is my birthday!" Mum was thrilled to become a grandmother and loved spending time with her three grandsons. Even though she was well into her 70s, she loved playing with the boys. She was just as happy changing their nappies as she was giving them a cuddle or playing games with them. Every time we visited Mum and Dad, she would always get out a small picnic set and a bag of toy vehicles and sit and play with the boys. They had some lovely imaginary tea parties and many great games of hide and seek around the house, which the boys just loved. She loved all of her family, and Mum was totally dedicated to us, always putting us first, making sure our needs were met, even if this meant she had to deny herself something. She worked tirelessly for us all, and we will never forget her. So, Mum, thank you for everything you did for us, for the love you gave to us, for just being you. We all love you and will miss you so much. Sleep well.
I would like you to tell you how blessed I've been to have a friend like Joan for so many years. Her Christian faith was evident in all that she did. She was kind and thoughtful, hospitable, and an excellent companion. Her musical skills were very evident, as well as dressmaking, cooking, flower arranging, and so we could go on. We met in 1951. When I was 17 and she was 19. This was when I came to Oswestry from Willenhall in Staffordshire to do my orthopaedic nurse training and worshipped at the Brethren Church in Willow Street. That was where I met the Harrod family and was invited to their home in Western Avenue. They were very welcoming towards me. One day I arrived to hear music coming from the front room. Joan was playing the piano for a gentleman to practice singing. I think he must have been going to sing a solo somewhere. Joan was in the railway choir and had been in Reading competing with them recently. Sometimes I went with her to the rehearsals in the church in Beatrice Street, now the site of Morrison's petrol station. We went walks, bicycle rides, and on holiday together. We stayed in a Christian guest house in Devon, both wearing dresses we had made ourselves, and I remember taking a photograph of Joan posing in the stocks on the front in Torquay. After 2 years, I returned to the Midlands to continue my training, but we still kept in touch and met from time to time. In 1959, I wanted a change from the job I was doing. In a letter, Joan told me that there was a vacancy at Oswestry District Hospital. I went for interview and I got the job. I realised then that Joan was very involved with the life of the church, now of course here at Albert Road. Her musical skills were very much appreciated at the services and at the monthly Saturday night rallies, which she also helped organise when people came from a distance by coach. And she worked with the Sunday school children, and of course she met George. I can remember her bringing him to my parents' house in Willenhall one day when I was at home. After they left, Dad said to me, have you noticed what long eyelashes George has got? I hadn't. When I told George this the other day, he thought that you ought to know. I eventually bought a bungalow in Oswestry and so was able to return the hospitality that I had received for so many years. By this time, they had returned to live in Shropshire. I went with George to visit Joan several times in hospital and the care home. And I can only say, as the hymn writer says, forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be.
Have a little difficulty in walking these days, so I just want to read a little passage of the scriptures to you. I didn't intend, but of late I've been looking at John's Gospel and the first chapter. And when you showed on this screen behind me that hymn Walking with Jesus, I thought I'd want to just pass on what I've gleaned in the last few days. The 36th verse of John 1 says this. It's John the Baptist. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye there? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. Those few words in that narrative struck home to me. Nothing spectacularly, but it was just those few words which, as he walked, the Lord Jesus had not performed any miracles at this stage. He was quite young. There was no great pronouncements that he made, no Sermon on the Mount, etc. He was just walking by. And John the Baptist and two of his followers saw that the Lord passed by and heard what John had to say. Behold, the Lamb of God. He was just walking. Walking in Scripture should be the characteristic of each believer, walking as he walked. There's something that characterized the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Master. Can I say tonight, or this morning, can I say that something of that should characterize every believer in the Lord Jesus, walking as he walked. It was part and parcel of Joan Wilde's life also. She was a beautiful lady, not merely in looks, but in personality. You know, these days, most people don't bother reading the Bible, but they do read us. John was an example of having faith in the Lord Jesus and bore a great testimony. Now, how can I say that? To all intents and purposes, you might say, well, how come you know so much about Joan? Well, I want to tell you that when I left Bonnie, Scotland to come to beautiful Shropshire, I met George and Joan in the Gospel Hall in Albert Road. This. And after the meeting, George and Joan invited my wife and myself for a bite of supper. It just so happened that a short while before that, we had had a holiday in Scotland, just a short break back in Scotland. And we told George and Joan how wonderful it had been. And before we left that night, we'd arranged to have them with us on our next holiday in Scotland. As a matter of fact, we didn't. We went down to Cornwall, I remember. Never mind. Was it a wise move? After all said and done, we really did enjoy George and Joan's company and, of course, the whatever was on offer when we had supper in their house and ours. But was it a wise move? You know, even family holidays falter on occasions. If you don't believe me, try taking your grandchildren to Disney. And when they want to spend all day, every day, on these wall of death, whatever it might be, funny times, or in several of the things that are on show at the time, I remember, and you feeling a little bit green about the gills, and then your wife said, well, just remember, they're on holiday as well. And there's that little bit of friction that creeps in, even to family holidays. Were we wise in agreeing with George and Joan to go on holiday? Well, it so happened that it was excellent. Our first time down in Cornwall certainly was excellent. But that was only one time. We were both families on our best behaviour, and so it went off very well. We came home, and in less than no time, we'd arranged to go back on another holiday. There were many, many times we went with George and Joan. Would you believe 17 times in all? So you can see that, strictly speaking, we did get to know our good friends. On one occasion, down in Cornwall again, although most of our holidays were spent in Scotland, as you might imagine. On one occasion down in Cornwall, after doing some shopping, we all went into a Christian bookstall. I can see George smiling already. When we came out of the bookshop, and walking along the road, Joan suddenly found that she had acquired an extra bag, an extra carrier bag. Looking inside, we found it was full of spare Hoover parts. We didn't need them. We were returned to the shop And like the true gentleman George and I were, or are, we let Joan go in to explain how she'd acquired this extra carrier bag. The bookshop owner laughed about it and made some joke about making a clean sweep, I remember. You can imagine in the 17 times that we were together, my wife took lots and lots of photographs. 17 times, and there are 7 or 8 volumes of photographs in the books I have at home. When she wrote up everything concerning our stay on holiday, she wrote, first of all, the holiday was a success, great company, great hotel, great food. Great company came first. It's been a joy to look back on some of those holidays, I can tell you. More than that, George and Joan and our two selves met very, very frequently, and I have to say, perhaps over 100 times of a Saturday evening to go out for a meal. Sometimes we got inside the restaurant, looked at the menu, and walked out. Sometimes we considered what there was to offer, sat down, and on one occasion, when Joan discovered that the tablecloth that was there wasn't too clean, we were out again. And so it was. We had some wonderful times of fellowship. George, Marcus and Roderick, I want to say you should be very, very proud of your mum. In this very brief sketch of Joan's life, I believe that she observed the walk of the Lord Jesus. And like those two disciples, went after him and walked with him until quite recently. Amen.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everybody. Uncle George and Auntie Joan have asked me to sing the song, it's called Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And just catching up with Uncle yesterday, we were discussing how this became kind of a bit of a theme song in Uncle and Auntie's fellowship times together of recent years and of kind of throughout their life. So I really hope you enjoy it. This is Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul will rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, free only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. He let me wait with patience, wait till the night is over, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Would you mind joining me singing that last refrain again? Safe in the arms of Jesus. Here we are. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Amen.